Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The grim updated numbers from Governor Greg Abbott after he flew over the Texas flood zone.
The numbers that I have is that there are 94 fatalities. 94 fatalities associated with this flooding event in this area.
And at least 110 people across all of Texas dead. And the search for survivors intensifies in the air, on the ground, even on horseback. Houthi rebels launching an attack from Yemen on a Liberian flag cargo ship in the Red Sea, killing three mariners, wounding two others, says an EU naval force. The Supreme Court handing another victory to President Trump, ruling he could go ahead with his plan to drastically downsize the federal workforce and sack hundreds of thousands of federal workers. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announcing a change at airport security. You can now leave your shoes on, she says, thanks to new screening technology. This is ABC News. The NHL and Players Association have ratified an extension of the collective bargaining agreement through 2030. Global health officials are fast-tracking a new malaria medication for babies. Prime Week is underway, but what tech deals can shoppers expect?
Tech products are always steeply discounted on Prime Day, and this year is no exception. Sony's XM5 headphones are 25% off through Friday. You can take up to 50% off Samsung's 75-inch The Frame TV, which is normally about $3,000, and Samsung's top-of-the-line smartphone, the Galaxy S25 Ultra, is almost 30% off. The normally $1,300 device can be had for $949. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A new report from the real estate data platform Batch Data finds investors are buying a larger share of U.S. homes compared to before. Real estate investors bought nearly 27% of homes sold in the first quarter of the year, compared to an 18% average in 2020 through 2023. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience. Where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Game 2 of the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers host the LA Dodgers. The Brewers winning last night 9-1. The Dodgers now trying to snap a four-game losing streak. They got swept at home over the weekend at Dodgers Stadium against the Houston Astros, who beat them 18-1 Friday night. The Brewers rookie Jacob Mizorowski against Clayton Kershaw for LA. We learned today that first baseman Rhys Hoskins will be out until August with an injured left thumb suffered over the weekend against Miami. So why are they playing newcomer Andrew Vaughn instead of Jake Bauer at first? Vaughn with a three-run homer last night. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, Vaughn versus Yamamoto last night. I just felt like, one, Yamamoto's kind of an even split guy, but, you know, he just got off the plane, no time to think. He's back in the big leagues. I just thought it was the right move. It worked out. Will he always face right-handers? No, maybe not. I'm very comfortable with Bauer's out there.
That's Pat Murphy. We'll have a full recap of the game later tonight with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Looking to make a playlist of patriotic songs for your weekend hangs? Look no further, as I did the research so you don't have to. Here are just a few classics from back in the day, as well as modern ditties. A consensus for the best or most searched modern-day patriotic songs seems to be Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA. How about adding another modern-day ear catcher to that list as well with Firework by Katy Perry? And of course, there's Tom Petty's American Girl. If you're like me, you love Ray Charles' version of America the Beautiful. And if people people hear it on your list, they just might sing along. And don't forget Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts to encourage a good old-fashioned summer road trip. Living in America by James Brown is a song that will make you tap your toes, patriotically speaking. And let's not forget one of my personal faves, Take Me Home, Country Roads by the late, great John Denver. Happy listening, party patriotically, and safely, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low close to 60. Sunshine and beautiful for tomorrow with low humidity. Highs in the low 80s. Some storms return to the area later Thursday and Friday. Highs in the mid-80s Thursday, around 80 Friday. Currently at 77.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Celi Flores, a DACA recipient. We'll explore what it was like watching the 2024 election unfold and what it's like now watching Donald Trump attack immigrants from coast to coast.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. Hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Posts. Shop now at cause-cart.shop. And search Native Roots to find your resist gear. Pini Gigi to everybody supporting.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we have Arvina Martin on of Emerge Wisconsin. And so it'll be an all Ho-Chunk show today. And we're always really happy to have Arvina on and chew the fat and talk about what's happening locally. And of course, you know, we're on Civic Media all across Wisconsin, and it's great to have the Wisconsin update from Arvina, even though we don't like the Packers, Jaleesa.
I have to say, yep, Vikings fan here.
Exactly. On that note, we see Arvina is in the bullpen. Let's bring her up right away because we have a lot to talk about. Welcome, Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin. Ho-wa.
And Packer shareholder.
Oh, good to know. I have to say, Arvina, I have a lot of respect, though, because I actually went to Lambeau Field and watched the Vikings-Packers game, and we did win. But I also have a lot of respect for Lambeau Field and the organization.
Yeah, yeah. It was the first thing I did with my per cap when I turned 18.
I love it.
Oh, so the rest of it went to college.
Nice.
Well, I did. I went to the Packer Field last year, too, for the first time, and was really impressed. Yeah. We were in a suite and really impressed with what was happening. I miss outdoor football big time. I was brought up at the old Met where we loved seeing those old California teams come in, you know, December and January, and we beat them up bad.
Yeah, the first Packer game so when I was a kid, the Packers used to play preseason games at like one preseason game at Camp Randall, the stadium in Madison for the University of Wisconsin. And we would go to that preseason game and Packer tickets are notoriously hard to get a hold of. Hold on, you know, I didn't put my daughter on the season ticket holder list when she was born. So at 16, she's, you know, probably like if she were to get on the list now, she probably wouldn't ever make it to the top of the list. But the first game that I actually saw at Lambeau Field was a December game against the Bears, and it was cold. It was snowing. It was just smash mouth football. It was really fun. I had a blast, even though my toes were frozen.
So I have a question for you, Arvina. Do you hate the Bears more than the Vikings, or the Vikings more than the Bears, or is it an equal thing?
It's kind of an equal thing, although I have to, I mean, like, I kind of feel like the Bears have been so hapless and have just, you know, struggled so much that I'm making a face that I almost have some pity for them. So maybe I dislike them a little less, but you know, it's only because the Vikings are more competitive.
Yeah. That well,
yeah,
that was fun. And you know, it was really fun too. I posted a picture of Paul Molitor, and he's an old Cretan boy here a few blocks from my house. And I went to high school with Joe Maurer's mom, and and Jack Morris only went to Highland, which is right in, you know, a stone's throw away from me. And of course, Dave Winfield went to the same high school I did. So we have these connections. But I took a selfie with Paul Molitor when I was at Target Field, and you're a big Paul Molitor fan.
I loved Paul Molitor when I was a kid. I definitely had a crush. because he was so good, and you know, the 80s were a rough time to be a Wisconsin sports fan. You know, accepting the 82 World Series that the Brewers went to, I was only 2 years old then, so I don't remember that myself, but I remember being, you know, apparently during a softball game that, or a t-ball game, that we lost by tons, asked my dad, what does it feel like to win? And his little heart just broke because, you know, a Packer fan, Badger fan, Brewer fan, you know, just nobody was any good at the time. And so, you know, and like, even when the Packers kind of start looking like we're having, you know, a downward turn, I'm like, I remember the 80s. This isn't as bad as the 80s, you know. So I, you know, I think of it as a kind of, you know, like, I guess I'm not sure what I'm thinking of it as, but you know, it's, I can handle like a season or two of sucking, you know, as opposed to like 10 years.
Yeah.
Share
oh, geez.
I remember. Minnesota.
Well, I'm at that age where I caught the last end of Lombardi, and then the kind of the upswing of the Vikings for the next four Super Bowls that they lost. And so I was 17 or when the Vikings were in their last Super Bowl. But I got to say this is a trivia question. Who was the last NFL champion?
And
that was the Vikings in 1969.
Mm-hmm. Pre-Super Bowl.
And then the leagues merged.
Yep. Gotcha.
That's all we got.
They probably didn't make the same kind of flashy rings for them back then either.
Right.
No, and it's funny too, the last Super Bowl the Vikings were on, again, the halftime, and that was 78, the halftime presentation was the marching band still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize until maybe this year that was kind of the standard Super Bowl halftime show, until, you know, they did the In Living Color halftime show on Fox, and they said, everybody change the channel, we'll tell you when you can change it back to the game. And they did a live like halftime show. The year after that was when Michael Jackson came on.
Oh,
and he stood there for like 5 minutes, like completely motionless and silent, and everybody was just screaming their heads off. And that's how we got the, you know, the modern day Super Bowl halftime shows, which brought us the amazing Kendrick Lamar this year.
Yes, that was phenomenal. Speaking of Kendrick, I did a show here too. And I got to say, my experiences as a little girl, I fell in love with Randy Moss and Chris Carter. So that's my background. And then to have them kind of coming back and Justin Jefferson beating all of Randy Moss's records is so cool.
I admit I did not care for Randy Moss.
A little wild.
Yes, I was not a fan, but you know, as we've both gotten older, I appreciate him. I'm glad that he beat cancer. So hooray, you know, and we're really glad to hear that.
Yes,
absolutely. So Arvina, were you old enough to remember the game at Lambeau Field where Randy pretended to moon everybody?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I heard that's because all of the Packers fans would do that to their bus.
That's so funny.
I don't know.
Remember the catch that Antonio Freeman made my senior year of college, watching in Hanover, New Hampshire, with all of my football-loving friends. They're saying, we want to watch up with Arvina. And I lost my mind when it hit his shoulder. He flipped over and ran it for a touchdown. One of my favorite sports moments.
Yay, I love it.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and it's a Ho-Chunk day here on Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back with Arvina Martin and Jaleesa McKee, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
That's right. Stay with us.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
I'll never forget. I was driving my Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, and I was hit at 35 miles an hour, rear-ended square flush. If not for the structural integrity of my Sienna, I wouldn't be here right now. There's a lot I can say about Rudy Luther Toyota, about their fantastic service department and their great selection, but being able to say your car saved my life is the best endorsement I can make. Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota are my highest recommendation. Get one today and tell them me, Matt McNeil, told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 19 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and co-host Jaleesa McKee here holding down the fort, but isn't it funny to hear all these old terms that really are really questionable, Arvina?
Yeah. I mean, that's not one that I would think of. And then all of a sudden when you were going to say it, then I was like, wait, the fort. Do we really want to hang out there? Tear it down from within?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of tearing it down within, we're going to talk a little bit of politics here. And I know this came up yesterday, but I want to talk about Ann Coulter for a moment.
Oh, Lord. I mean, she, I, you know, she is trying to bring herself back into the public eye. You know, she's kind of faded away. There's all of these, you know, MAGA and Trump affiliated folks like Laura Loomer and others who are, you know, getting the attention that I'm sure Ann Coulter wants. And she, is so callous to try to get that attention back by spouting inflammatory language and very hurtful things about Native people. And, you know, she is just a terrible human being, you know, and we now, because of her, have to deal with more people who think it's cool or edgy to say stuff like we should kill more Indians or we should have killed more Indians. And it's absolutely disgusting. But it's also absolutely predictable that she would say something so outlandish and so just completely, asinine and horrible. Think of any negative adjective, you can put any of those on her statement. And it's just, you know, she can go back and sit in her, you know, probably gated community with security, and, you know, we have to deal with folks that listen to things like that and think of them as directives, not as as just some spouting off. And unfortunately, you know, with the rise of political violence coming from folks from the right, it's not without potential consequences, and it's really dangerous to start saying things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just wanted to get your input on that. It's just, I think a lot of Native leaders across Turtle Island have commented on it, and it's just par for the course. And we talk a lot about this on Native Roots Radio, where Native Americans really are the holders of the word resist, because we've been resisting for 500 years and we're kind of the experts. And this isn't anything new coming down the line, but it's also a little upsetting. I want to switch to another subject here, Arvina and Jaleesa. And that's, I thought MacArthur Park, the song MacArthur Park, was not a real place until a couple days ago.
Was it melting? Were there cakes?
Yeah, exactly. And they left it out in the rain. But yes. I just got to give props to the mayor of Los Angeles.
Oh, I didn't hear about what happened with MacArthur Park. Well,
ice yesterday in MacArthur Park, which I didn't know was a real thing. Ice came in there with tanks, soldiers. And Fox News was there with cameras so they could really film this and promote this. And there was just kids playing soccer. And just put on this big performance thing and left. And it was a joke. But the mayor was there saying, I want you out of here.
Yeah.
And so Mayor Bass shows up and as the federal agents raid MacArthur Park and demands to speak to the official in charge and gets them out of there. So that was my kind of joke with MacArthur Park, is that she came down there and showed some leadership.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the shows the importance of paying attention to down ballot races. You know, while things at the top of the ticket did not go our way, or the way that we had hoped, we still, you know, have resistance in the forms of our state legislatures and state, you know, our governors, our attorneys general, you know, of our mayors and city councils, county boards, school boards. You know, they're all, you know, able to be part of this resistance and you know, the actions of Mayor Karen Bass definitely show that there, you know, people coming, the military, you know, presumably coming in with artillery, with tanks to intimidate Americans is decidedly un-American. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, one lesson that you can take from that is that we need to pay attention to those elections up and down the ballot, local, as hard as we do presidential, because, you know, the our leaders at the local or state level might be the ones that are the ones that can stand in the way of a lot of this, even if it's just procedurally, even if they're slowing things down. You know, that's important resistance, and an important part of our movement. So don't sleep on local elections, everybody. You know, I mean, and we can say that for tribal governments as well. You know, our president, John Green Deer, you know, when ICE raids were starting to pop up, you know, he stepped in and was like, we are going to get real IDs as our tribal IDs so that, you know, these are things that law enforcement can't ignore. And so leadership at every level is so important to this in order to keep us from being steamrolled.
Yeah, I agree. And John's a heck of a leader. And I can kind of talk about this now a little bit now that I'm not a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation, but being a former legislator this past 4 years, John is a great leader. And I wanted to say one thing. I'd been into Wisconsin, and we talked and joked in the beginning about Wisconsin, but I want to say I've been in Wisconsin more often than in many years. And I just got to give a big shout out to your governor for stopping a lot of crazy stuff. And that's what you're kind of talking about, Arvina.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and even to the extent of, you know, previously he would do veto, you know, like, you know, he could veto things within a budget or that, you know, you can get creative and cut out words, you know, and everything to kind of change the meaning of that. And he's done that for good purposes, to get more money to schools, to get more money to the people that need it. And for perpetuity, I believe that one of the edits that he made funding, you know, set into legislation for like 1,000 years because
I remember that. And that was awesome, because when you were talking about that first, I'm going, yeah, what was that? But that's what it was. He switched a couple words and the Republicans voted for it because they weren't paying attention.
They were not happy that, you know, I'm pretty sure that went to the state Supreme Court. It went through that. It was okay. And you know, it remains a tool of resistance, you know, and again, helps us, be able to not just protect our people, but protect our values, and be able to live those values.
Well, we only got like a minute here left, and I would like to go back and just ask you about how did the governor and the Supreme Court, or maybe it was the Supreme Court, start working on the gerrymandering that's been happening in Wisconsin? And I know it's going to be better here in the next few years, but if we could remind our listeners and remind me too, I'd like to go back to that and how that happened on the next segment, Arvina.
Okay, yeah, let's talk gerrymandering.
Yeah, and it's funny too, saw our Supreme Court justice got sworn in, and I'm telling you, Tricia Zunker is should have been won that seat, and she did so well in that heavily gerrymandered area, but that's another discussion, but it just made me think when I saw her being sworn in as one of our Supreme.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The grim updated numbers from Governor Greg Abbott after he flew over the Texas flood zone.
The numbers that I have is that there are 94 fatalities. 94 fatalities associated with this flooding event in this area.
And at least 110 people across all of Texas dead. And the search for survivors intensifies in the air, on the ground, even on horseback. Houthi rebels launching an attack from Yemen on a Liberian flag cargo ship in the Red Sea, killing three mariners, wounding two others, says an EU naval force. The Supreme Court handing another victory to President Trump, ruling he could go ahead with his plan to drastically downsize the federal workforce and sack hundreds of thousands of federal workers. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announcing a change at airport security. You can now leave your shoes on, she says, thanks to new screening technology. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Game two of the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers host the LA Dodgers. The Brewers winning last night 9-1. The Dodgers now trying to snap a four-game losing streak. They got swept at home over the weekend at Dodgers Stadium against the Houston Astros, who beat them 18-1 Friday night. The Brewers rookie Jacob Mizorowski against Clayton Kershaw for LA. We learned today that first baseman Reese Hoskins will be out until August with an injured left thumb suffered over the weekend against Miami. So why are they playing newcomer Andrew Vaughn instead of Jake Bauer at first? Vaughn with a three-run homer last night. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, Vaughn versus Yamamoto last night. I just felt like, one, Yamamoto's kind of an even split guy, but, you know, he just got off the plane, no time to think. He's back in the big leagues. I just thought it was the right move. It worked out. Will he always face right-handers? No, maybe not. I'm very comfortable with Bauer's out there.
That's Pat Murphy. We'll have a full recap of the game later tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you were looking for a break from relatives, friends, or people in the neighborhood who drop by unannounced this holiday weekend, why not escape with a film or two that have been considered July 4th classics? Let's start with Jaws, which has to be on the list given it is considered the first summer blockbuster ever and just recently had its 50th anniversary. Another fan favorite is Independence Day, where Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum take on aliens that seemed impossible to defeat, but of course they find a loophole. The film is a total guilty pleasure and great escapism. Back to the Future is another summer classic that came out in 1985. It's got the always likable Michael J. Fox, Leah Thompson, and of course Thomas F. Wilson, who never quite achieved biffdom again. And in my research, I was surprised at how much the original Top Gun appeared on the list for 4th of July movies. If you don't feel like going back to the 80s again, check out Top Gun Maverick. Take a break from the heat and fire up the small screen. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low close to 60. Sunshine and beautiful for tomorrow with low humidity, highs in the low 80s. Some storms return to the area later Thursday and Friday. Highs in the mid-80s Thursday, around 80 Friday. Right now it's 76.
Matt Nair on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women continue having problems accessing their health care. We're going to talk about that with Megan Kling. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we love that group, and they support so many people, and we just love NACDI. And we have Robert Lilligren on Thursday, the CEO of Native American Community Development, on every Thursday. So looking forward to that. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, and she's CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking a few things. Arvina, welcome back. And could you remind me how this was gone down here in this last year or so?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know if I can start there. I mean, we're going back decades that, the first round of gerrymandering happened in 2011, and produced a state legislative map, that was considered the most gerrymandered state legislative map in the country. And people really started, it took a lot of activism and a lot of work from groups like Law Forward, Fair Maps Wisconsin, the Attorney General Josh Call, once he was elected, there were a lot of claims, about why the state legislative maps were unconstitutional. There were things related to the partisan gerrymandering. There was one claim about non-contiguity. So if you can't have islands that are separated and not touching, to be part of the same legislative district, et cetera. But last year, part of it happened because of the change of the makeup of the state Supreme Court. When it was, the majority was held by conservatives, they were like, nah, that's okay. That's okay. But in 2024 rolled around, and we had the progressive side has taken majority of the state Supreme Court, they were able to take a look at this and actually apply the Constitution to the maps. It was ruled that those state legislative maps needed to be changed, and that the fall 2024 elections needed to be held using new maps, that the extremely gerrymandered districts were not to go to election. So that was a fun time, because the decision happened, and what the maps were going to look like weren't actually solidified until kind of late, and into what we call the signature period, the time period where candidates have to go and collect nomination signatures in order to get their name on the ballot. And so, it was very hectic, and it was hard for people who wanted to run to know if they were, what district they may be in. If they used one proposed map, they might be in District A, but proposed map B, two, they would be in District B. It didn't leave a lot of time, but the changes were massive. I'm blanking on the total number, but Democrats picked up, you know, double digits number of seats in the state assembly. We have 99 seats in the state assembly. And, you know, before we were very close to having a veto proof Republican majority. And so, you know, that definitely helped Democrats take away that kind of veto proof majority, as well as picking up a couple of seats in the Senate. And our state Senate is such that senators are elected every 4 years, but they're staggered. So if you are in an even Senate district, you run during, you know, I can't remember which it is, but either presidential election years or gubernatorial midterm election years. And then the odd number district senators are their elections are in the other. We have half of our state Senate that needs to be that has not yet come up for election under these new maps. I think, you know, Democrats have a really strong chance of taking a trifecta, taking the majority in both houses of legislature, as well as hanging on to the state Supreme Court, as well as the governorship, which would be incredible. And we can stop a lot of this bleeding. You know, Wisconsin still has not accepted that federal Medicaid money because the Republican legislature won't allow us to. And, you know, we have people like Derek Van Orden trying to take away more money from Medicaid, and then saying, well, Governor Evers, you need to allocate more money to this, like it wasn't a problem that he himself created. So, you know, the ramifications of gerrymandering they're real, you know, and we are going to find districts that are a lot more moderate, and that, you know, even if Republicans win a lot of these seats, the chances of them being really extreme is less, because they know that to win and to represent that district, they're going to have to be more moderate. They're going to have to appeal to more than just that right-wing base.
You know, Arvina, it's interesting. Two things. I can say Protasiewicz, and that took me a long time. She was a guest and ran for the Supreme Court on Native Roots Radio. So, as you probably know, I can say this. I have trouble reading. But Protasiewicz was on the show, and I'm so happy that I can still say that, her name. And but also, when I was young, Wisconsin was a Democratic state. You know, it blows my mind.
I mean, if you go back to like 10 years, you know, or more even, Wisconsin and Minnesota were almost twinsies, you know, and had a lot of this, you know, statistics were similar. And since we've had this kind of Republican takeover and then the gerrymandering to protect that takeover, you know, Wisconsin has fallen in a lot of categories that are really important to the well-being of our state citizens and the folks that live here, you know, education, health, you name it. And we have a lot, you know, we as progressives, as Democrats, you know, are running to correct that and to get us back into that strong progressive history that we have, you know, the home of fighting Bob La Follette, you know, a progressive hero. And, you know, it's a lot of work, and there is so much damage that has been done, over the last decade, or two, that once, you know, Democrats do have more power, there's going to be a lot of cleanup, and cleaning up after Republicans.
Oh my God, you are not kidding. It's interesting too. I was thinking as you were talking too, Texas was a Democratic state when I was young too. And I remember there was a governor there. I can't remember her name, but I remember her saying, poor George Bush. He was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. And I'll never forget that. Ann Richards, I guess.
Yes, I was going to say Ann Richards, you know, and beloved. She was beloved by Texans. And her daughter, Cecile Richards, was the president and leader of Planned Parenthood for many years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I happened to look up, I was looking up things about Texas because of the, you know, the terrible flooding. And the last time Texas went blue in a presidential election was in 76 for Jimmy Carter. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I'm old because I didn't think it was that long ago.
It was a while. But Ann Richards was governor while, like, I remember when she was governor, and to me that, like, it just seems so so out of place that there would be somebody like a Democratic leader in Texas that was so popular. It just seems out of place for what I know of Texas now.
Well, it's interesting too. You brought up Texas, and I don't want to get too deep in this. But I do believe these cuts had a lot to do with a lot of these deaths. And I know when it comes to Republicans want to talking about things like this that they created, they always say that, you know, we shouldn't talk about this right now because it, you know, it just happened. You're politicizing these deaths. And it's like, Arvina, when do you talk about it?
I mean, we just have to get over that, honestly, and say, no, we are talking about this now because we are thinking about it now. And the other side does it too. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene put out some bogus legislation because she says that Democrats, like, messed with the weather or something and made, you know, did it deliberately. And like, that is, that doesn't happen. But, you know, the cuts to FEMA are very likely to affect the response of folks, you know, or to this disaster in Texas. And I want to also shout out, we have an Emerge Texas as well. And I want to shout out the great work that they do trying to fight against that kind of Greg Abbott, Ted Cruz machine that is happening down there. So they're doing the same work that I do in Wisconsin, they're doing in Texas.
Yeah, I think Ted Cruz is still on vacation. He did not come back and see.
He's in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Arvina Martin and Jaleesa McKee, and I'm Robert Pilot, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Rudy Luther Toyota is the dealer you can trust. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com to browse their inventory of new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Style, performance, and reliability. You can find it all at Rudy Luther. With every new and certified pre-owned vehicle, you'll get a Luther Advantage card. Save 10 cents per gallon at the pump and get $6 Works car washes at Holiday Station stores. That's right. You can get a great vehicle and help stretch your budget even further. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Yeah, and we also want to say no to the hunts in Wisconsin too, Jaleesa. Geez, it was a bloodbath the last time they did that, and I know there was a 250 limit or something like that, and it was supposed to be 2 weeks long, and they got their limit within 48 hours, and so we just pray for our relatives with tails and hooves and things
our
like that.
Four-legged relatives.
Exactly. Well, fish are our relatives too, and they have no legs.
They have tails.
Yeah, that's right. Good one. Hey, before we get back to Arvina Martin, I want to get a little update on what's going on with Jaleesa, and I know New Native Theater, which you've been a big part of these last few years as an actor and so proud Papa here, Jaji here. So go ahead, Jaleesa.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with our listeners, I am honored to speak to you about New Native Theater. I studied theater in undergrad, and so I have a degree in theater, but it wasn't until I started working with New Native Theater that I was able to do it at a professional level. And they have just really grown into just a beautiful, beautiful place to be a Native person and also an artist, specifically for me, an actor. So they're holding auditions right now. So I wanted to give them a specific shout out. Go to newnativetheater.org if you want to get more information, or visit their New Native Theater Facebook, or I would suggest their Instagram. So, but they're holding auditions, and it's just such a really neat thing because they showcase Native writers as well. So the plays that I've done for New Native Theater have been local, and actually somebody from Toronto to Native American writers. So really cool to put these things on and then just be a part of the community, and then have that overlap with also be around such great artists. And shout out to Rihanna Yazzie for founding the company back in 2008 and just the growth that it's happened. I just had a meeting with them yesterday, and I just love the staff and, you know, everybody there at New Native Theater. Rihanna was there. You know, Rihanna is a very busy artist in her own career on top of founding and running New Native Theater. She's very successful in Hollywood and is all over the world really doing a lot of different things, specifically in the arts. So shout out to her.
Yeah, last time we had Arvina on, she had written her second episode of Dark Winds, and we really love that. And Jaleesa, I know you have a couple questions to Arvina if you want to ask her. Grill Arvina, you know, that's the grill. We can call it a new segment.
Well, I'm glad that you gave me an opportunity to just speak on New Native Theater, because again, it's really empowering for me to be around other Native women that are really just really diving into their passions and what Creator has given them. And you know, that really translates to you, Arvina, and your work. I know I think sometimes it can be very intimidating
for us to seek our passions. And so I was just sort of curious on when maybe that moment kind of sparked where you're like, no, I'm going to go for it. I mean, was it, I'm sure it was like a long journey as well, but you know, I've been encouraged to start writing lately, and my Jaji here, our host, was a big influence and has made me feel really great and inspired. But you know, it's just so interesting because sometimes we do hold back, and I wonder why. And I just wonder more about your journey and the wonderful things that you do for our community.
When I went to school, I always knew that I was going to, you know, use my education and experiences to help the community that supported me growing up. Mm-hmm. And that my community was so integral to my educational experience, you know, going through the title, I think now it's title 7. I'm not sure what the number is these days. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a lot of support. You know, I was helped with tutoring, particularly math. One of my tutors, my math tutors, was Wildberry's chef, Elena Terry, which was cool. You know, I always knew that I was going to do something to help my community. And it wasn't, you know, I worked in the state assembly in the sergeant at arms office. And like when I was first starting my career, you know, I thought of it more as like finding, you know, something to pay the bills while I figure out exactly what that was going to be. At the time I was like, oh, I'll go to law school. Mm-hmm. That did not happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after I had my daughter and got a divorce, you know, I was very much like, I need to, you know, figure out what it is I'm doing. And it's got to, you know, I wanted it to be something I liked. So I actually started with an internship with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as a communications intern. So I was, you know, I did things like write sample letters to the editor. I did opposition research, you know, kind of kept track of certain legislators that were in, especially those that were in more seats that were more like closer, so not the super hyper Republican ones as much. Mm-hmm. And then the Act 10 protests started happening, and the recall Walker movement started, and I was asked if I would be the native outreach person to get word about the recall, to get signatures, to get buy-in from Native communities. And you know, before I had my daughter, I was working in the Office of Admissions at UW-Madison as the Native recruiter. So you know, I because I grew up here, you know, I have connections mm-hmm. with different communities. My parents were both fairly, you know, were known in tribal communities. So if I would show up, you know, they'd be like, who are you? And I'd be like, I'm Buck and Karen's daughter. And they'd be like, oh, okay. And that, you know, I had a certain amount of credibility. Although it's funny because my dad was a Republican before he passed and before all of this craziness happened. And I remember going, he worked for Tommy Thompson during the spearfishing crisis up, wow. You know, during the 80s. And so I remember going to certain communities, particularly some of the Ojibwe communities, and they'd be like, you're Buck Martin's daughter and you're a Democrat? I'm like, yep. So it was kind of a little jumping off point. And it was, you know, it was stuff that I would have volunteered to do anyways. So it was really, I'm really lucky that I get to do stuff that I really love to do and stuff that is actually helpful to our community and stuff that is empowering. And I, you know, I would even say that the work that you do is related. I mean, persisting and resisting takes so many forms. Art is absolutely one of those forms of resistance, and telling our stories in a way that is uniquely ours.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Pat Quaitlow of Mornings with PK and Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor at LP, joins us to discuss national and state issues and a what's worse on pizza.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The recovery effort intensifying in the Texas flood zone. Volunteers working alongside rescuers. Jeff Rocco owns a catering company in Dallas and had two daughters who attended Camp Mystic the week before the flooding. He's back in Kirk County helping to prepare meals at Mercy Chef's Donation Center.
It's hard on them. It's very hard on them. I mean, they could have been there. It was hard on me when I thought about, oh gosh, that could have been my kids.
The death toll surpassing more than 110 people, including dozens of children, 173 people missing across Texas. This time, President Trump saying he's holding firm to his deadline on tariffs. It's now August 1st. The president sending letters to U.S. trading partners that he says constitute a deal. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem announcing new tech will allow travelers to keep their shoes on while going through airport security. And the Supreme Court ruling that President Trump can go ahead with his plan to drastically downsize the federal workforce. This is ABC News.
As was